This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Over the years, many have wondered just who are these 144,000 that seem to be particularly identified with a great, innumerable multitude. Why are they specifically pointed out in two chapters within the book of Revelation? Is there some kind of significance attached to them? And if so, what could it be? Well, on today's program, we will explore some of the mysteries surrounding these people and attempt to add some clarity to just who they are and what they represent in this very symbolic apocalyptic book that was written by the Apostle John some 2,000 years ago. So stay with us as we proceed to uncover the question that so many have about who are the 144,000.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding.
Who are the mysterious 144,000 mentioned in the book of Revelation? Could you be one of them? Welcome to another international broadcast of the Armor of God. I'm your host, Adrian Davis, and today we're going to answer this question. Who are the 144,000? There's a lot of confusion around this topic and a lot of different ideas. The 144,000 are mentioned twice in the book of Revelation, once in chapter 7 and again in chapter 14. And some believe there are actually 288,000 because they're mentioned twice. Others say, nope, it's 144,000, and they are the physical people of the nations of Israel. Others say, no, the 144,000, these are the members of my church, even though their church may only number a few thousand people. So what is the truth of the 144,000? You know, before I get too far ahead, I want to make sure that I remember to offer you today's free literature. The first is a reprint article, entitled, Who Are the 144,000? And the other is entitled, How You Can Become an Overcomer. Both of these are going to explain to you why this subject is important and how you can ensure that you are successful in your life as a Christian. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 888-578-8791. That's toll-free, 888-578-8791. Or alternatively, you can just go to our website, cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. While you're there ordering the literature, you can also tune in to our weekly sermon broadcasts. You'll see it very clear how you can hear a live sermon being preached from the Word of God at cgi.org. So thanks again for joining us on today's program. We're exploring this question, who are the 144,000? And you're going to need your Bible. So get your Bible out. We're going to go through this together. And by the end of the broadcast, I think it'll be pretty clear to us who the 144,000 are. There are many opinions. As I mentioned, they're mentioned at the top of the program. They're mentioned twice in the book of Revelation, once in chapter 7 and again in chapter 14. Let's begin in chapter 7, where you'll see that the Apostle John says that beginning in verse 4, he heard the number of them which were sealed. So these people are being sealed with God's protection. And he heard the number which were sealed. And he says here, and there were sealed 144,000. So this is the first time that they are introduced. And notice he says, of all the tribes of Israel. And then he goes through 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. Now, who are they? Clearly, he says there of the tribes of Israel, 12,000 of each tribe. Let's get the context for chapter 7 in chapter 6. There are two questions that John poses in chapter 6 that he uses chapter 7 to answer. The first question, if we go to chapter 6, Revelation 6 and verse 9, is when the fifth seal is opened. It says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice," so they were very earnest. "They cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?'" So this is the first question. How much longer? These martyrs are asking. And in verse 11, "White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So the first question is, how much longer? And the answer is, your number is not complete yet. There are more that must be added to get to the full number according to God's design. So they're to hold on until the full number is completed. Now, the second question in chapter 6 that provides context to chapter 7, if you drop down to verse 15, where it says the kings of the earth, now the sixth seal has been opened, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain. So now God is beginning to act. Man has lost control and he is panicking. "And said to the mountains," verse 16, "and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb." And then the second question in verse 17, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" So this is the second question. Who will be able to stand? And this is context for chapter 7. So we can see now, as we read chapter 7, we have to read it in the context of these two questions. How much longer? And the answer to that question was, you have to wait until the full complement is reached. And the second question, who's able to stand? And then we come to chapter 7 for the answer to this question. As we begin in chapter 7, and it's very important, in fact, before we actually delve into chapter 7, to just quickly rewind and go to the beginning of the book, chapter 1, verse 1, how the book begins. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the opening, it's the revealing, which God gave him to show to his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent, and notice this, he signified it by his angel unto his servant John. This is very first verse, and most people read over this, that the revelation, it's a revealing, but it's signified. That means it's put in symbolic form. So what we see in the book of Revelation, it's apocalyptic literature, and that means that everything is in symbols, and the symbols are signifiers. They're pointing to something. So we have to understand what is being signified. What is the symbol pointing to? And so we have to be careful about taking things literally when they're meant to be taken symbolically. So with that in mind, we come back to chapter 7 when the 144,000 are mentioned. And notice in verse 4, when John mentions the 144,000, he says, I heard the number of them which were sealed. And he goes through and he says 144,000 were sealed. And he heard that 12,000 were sealed from each tribe. Then in verse 9, he says, it's like he turned and he looks. He says, after this, I beheld. So first he heard, he didn't see anything, he just heard. But when he looked, what did he see? He saw a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So the question, who shall stand, which was asked in chapter 6, is answered right here. John saw who was standing, and it was this great multitude. But notice, John did not see 12 tribes of Israel. He didn't see 12,000 people in 12 tribes. He heard that was an auditory symbol. But when he looked, he just saw a great multitude. And they were standing, clothed with white robes. So the first set of martyrs were told, or were given white robes, and told to wait until more were added. And here we see more with the white robes, standing, answering the question, who shall stand? And they were then praising God and worshiping God. And notice now, in Genesis 12, so this great multitude that John saw is actually fulfilling the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12. It says, the Lord God said to Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so what we're seeing with this great multitude, this first fruits harvest, is the beginning of the fulfillment of this promise that God made to Abraham, that all the families of the earth would be blessed in him. And that's why we see them from all nations and kindreds, because all of these people are being grafted or have been grafted into Israel. If we look at Revelation 14 and verse 1, this is the second time that the 144,000 are mentioned in Revelation 14 and verse 1. He says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Again, these are the ones that are standing with the lamb. Who shall be able to stand in the face of the lamb's wrath? The 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the great voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. This is the 144,000 with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song except the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. Now, to tie this, you know, some people say this is a separate set of 144,000. This is the same 144,000, which, remember, is a symbol. But to tie this to Revelation 7, we notice that they are singing a song. I wonder what the contents of this song could be. Well, here's an indication. When John wrote of the 144,000 that he heard, and he listed them by tribe, if we take the names of these tribes, and he listed them in a particular order, Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin, if we take those tribes in this order, and we take the meaning of their names, we get an indication of what they might be singing, that only the 144,000 could learn this song. Well, imagine a choir where each part of the choir has their part to sing, and then they all sing in unison. Listen to the meaning of these names in the order that John presented them. Now will I praise the Lord. Surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. And a troop comes, happy am I. With great wrestlings I have wrestled, and God has made me forget all my toil. The Lord has heard that I was hated, but now my husband will be joined to me. God has given me my hire, and now will my husband dwell with me. God has taken away my reproach, and God shall add to me the son of his right hand. That is the meaning of the names of the 12 tribes. And you can see very clearly this is most likely what they were singing. It also says they were singing the song of Moses, which is a song of triumph over Pharaoh and his army. In chapter 14, continuing in verse 4, it says, these are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So clearly we can see they are the first fruits of God. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So what does it mean that they're not defiled with women and they are virgins? Well, if we let the scriptures interpret themselves, we can go to Ezekiel 23 and verse 5. Speaking of Israel, says, and Ahola played the harlot when she was mine. So Israel played the harlot when she was God's. And she doted on her lovers, on the Assyrians, her neighbors, which were clothed with blue, captains and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding upon horses. Thus she committed her whoredoms with them, with all them that were the chosen men of Assyria, and with all on whom she doted. With all their idols she defiled herself. So Israel defiled herself by partnering with the Assyrians. And this is what God calls harlotry. And Revelation chapter 14 is in the context of chapter 13, which is the rise of the beast power and those accepting the mark of the beast, which defiles them. But it says the 144,000 are virgins. That means they resisted the mark of the beast. They would not accept it because it's all about worship. You are either, and in this time ahead of us, one either is going to worship the devil or they're going to worship Christ. There's no in between. And these 144,000 love not their lives to the death. They're even willing to be martyred because the beast says he will put to death anybody who does not accept his mark or his image. Continuing now, people don't realize that chapter 15 is also about the 144,000. And in verse 1 it continues, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." God is now going to send the seven last plagues on this rebellious mankind who have accepted the mark of the beast. "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire." So the sea of glass was introduced in chapter 4 in front of God's throne, but this time in chapter 15, it's mingled with fire. The fire is a symbol of God's wrath, which he is about to have these seven angels unleash with the seven bowls. And this fire is going to come to the earth to unleash God's wrath upon a rebellious mankind. But here, standing on the sea of glass, standing in the midst of the fire, are the 144,000. Which is answering the question which was posed in chapter 6 by the wicked, who shall be able to stand in the face of the wrath of the Lamb? The answer is the 144,000. Now the 144,000 in itself is a symbol. And what is it symbolizing? Well, it's symbolizing 12 times 12 times 1,000. That's how we get to 144,000. Each 12 is a symbol and 1,000 is a symbol. To unpack this symbolism, let's go to Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation chapter 21, in verse 12, he says here, speaking of the New Jerusalem, "And it had a wall great and high, and it had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels. And the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates." In other words, there is no way into the New Jerusalem except through one of these 12 gates. And each gate represents one of the tribes of Israel. So the only way into the New Jerusalem is to be an Israelite. And so this great multitude that John saw in Revelation chapter 7 was actually Israel. Of all nations, God's intention, we see it in Isaiah, was always to save the whole world, as he promised to Abraham. And so this great multitude that we see in chapter 7, there's no relationship that God has with Gentiles. These are Gentiles that have been grafted into Israel, and they are going to be in the New Jerusalem, coming through the appropriate gate. So that's the first 12. In verse 14 of chapter 21, it says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." That's the second 12. So the first 12 represents the patriarchs, and it's God's covenant with Israel. But Israel broke that covenant. So God engaged in a new covenant, and the 12 apostles symbolize that new covenant. So 12 and 12 both symbolize God's faithfulness. And this is underlined and reinforced by the 1,000. The 1,000, if you go to Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God." He's the faithful God, "which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments 1,000 generations." So 1,000 is also a symbol of God's faithfulness. So the 144,000 represent not their righteousness. They represent God's faithfulness, His faithfulness to the covenant to Israel. By bringing in the new covenant with the apostles to 1,000 generations to those that love Him. So the 144,000 was an auditory symbol of God's faithfulness. Now, some will say, but Adrian, if you go to Revelation chapter 3, you'll see the church in Philadelphia, they are promised protection from the tribulation. So if you're saying the 144,000 are martyred in the tribulation, that can't be true because the church at Philadelphia is promised protection from the tribulation. Well, let's take a look at that. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, it says to Philadelphia, the faithful congregation, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them which dwell upon the earth. Well, first of all, there's an assumption that the hour of temptation is the tribulation. The Bible actually doesn't say that. It says the hour of temptation. But before I unpack that, I just want to point to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 to show that Smyrna was also a faithful congregation. These are the two congregations that Jesus Christ has no criticism over. He commends both of them. And for Smyrna, they're told to fear none of the things which they will suffer, that they'll be cast into prison and tried, and shall have tribulation 10 days. He says to them, be faithful unto death, and he'll give them the crown of life. So this faithful church was told to be faithful unto death. Here in Philadelphia, in chapter 3, they're told that they are faithful. They have a little bit of strength, but they're faithful. And because of that faithfulness, they will be spared the hour of temptation. Because they've kept the word of his patience. What is this word of the patience of the saints? Well, look at chapter 13, where we mentioned earlier, when the beast comes to power and is marking everybody in their forehead or in their right hand to show allegiance to the beast power. The faithful do not accept the mark of the beast. And in verse 10, it says, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. So God will act, and the captor will become the captive. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. So the victor will become vanquished. In this understanding, here is the patience and faith of the saints. So the Philadelphian Christians are able to be faithful on pain of death, because they understand that God will act, that Jesus Christ has given us the apocalypse, he's given us the revelation, so that we can know the things that are going to happen before they happen. We know the end even before it gets started. And because we have this understanding, we will be faithful even unto death, because we know God has promised us the crown of life. Now, in chapter 3, verse 10, he says that this is he's going to keep the Philadelphians from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them which dwell upon the earth. Did you realize that the tribulation, the great tribulation, is not a time of tribulation for those who accept the mark of the beast? If you accept the mark of the beast, no tribulation for you. The tribulation is only upon those who resist the mark of the beast. And yet Christ promises the Philadelphians to be kept from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon them that dwell upon the earth. They're established upon the earth. Look at chapter 13, again in Revelation verse 12, that the beast exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So those who worship the beast are dwelling in the earth. They're established in the earth. And God promises to keep the Philadelphians from the hour that is going to come upon those that dwell upon the earth. And that is the introduction of the seven last plagues, the last hour, the hour of judgment, when God sends his fire to the earth to punish wicked men. The Philadelphians, in fact, all of the faithful Christians, will be sealed because of their faithfulness. That seal is a symbol of their faithfulness to God. And because of that faithfulness to God, they will not have to face His wrath. It answers the question, who will be able to stand in the face of the wrath of the Lamb? Well, the answer is those who are sealed, those who are faithful, those who do not accept the mark of the beast. Those who accept the mark of the beast will dwell on the earth, but they will have to face the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all those who dwell upon the face of the earth. So there is really, really good news. And if we understand the 144,000, the answer is yes, we can be in the 144,000. It's just a matter of timing. That the 144,000 represent the faithful saints of Jesus Christ who are alive in the time of the opening of the seven seals, and who are alive at the time when the beast rises in power and begins to force the worship of the devil. Through this mark, this symbolic mark of the beast that people will receive in their head, in their forehead, or in their hand. And God will send an angel to warn the whole earth not to accept the mark of the beast. There will be no excuse. It'll be very clear that accepting the mark of the beast is worshiping the devil and rejecting Christ. And the faithful saints in God will resist this to the point of death. The scripture says they love not their lives unto the death. And that is what seals them for God's righteousness, for God's kingdom, for the new creation, for life in the new Jerusalem. There's so much more that I would love to say to explain, but to really grasp this, please write in. Go to, or you can write to us at info@cgi.org, or go to our website, cgi.org, or even call us at 888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791. Nobody's going to ask you for money. Just ask for the literature. Who are the 144,000? How you can become an overcomer. This is such an important topic. We really need to understand. In fact, Jesus Christ gave us the revelation so that we could know the things that must shortly come to pass. He wants us to know. He wants you to know. And we want you to know and to understand who are the 144,000 and how you can be an overcomer. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember to put on the whole armor of God, and to stand in this evil day. We look forward to you joining us once again.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.